46. Fables of the Reconstruction. Chia dreamed of a beach pebbled with crushed fragments of consumer electronics, crab things scuttling low, their legs striped like antique resistors. Tokyo Bay, shrouded in fog from an old movie, a pale gray blanket meant to briefly conceal first-act terrors, sea monsters, or some alien armada. Hak Nam rose before her as she waded nearer, but with a dream's logic, it grew no closer. Backwashing sea, sucking at her ankles. The walled city is growing. Being grown. From the fabric of the beach, rack and wreckage of the world before things changed. Unthinkable tonnage, dumped here by barge and bulk lifter in the course of the Great Reconstruction. The minuscule bugs of Rodel Van ERP seethe there, lifting the iron-caged balconies that are sleeping rooms, countless unplanned windows throwing blank silver rectangles back against the fog. A thing of random human accretion, monstrous and superb, it is being reconstituted here, retranslated from its later incarnation as a realm of consensual fantasy. The alarm's infrared stutter, sun-bright halogen illuminating the printed scarf, at its center the rectangle representing an emptiness, an address unknown, the kill file of legend. Zapping the espresso-matic to life with her remote, she curls back into the quilt's dark, waiting for the building hiss of steam. Most mornings now, she checks into the city, hears the gossip in a favorite barber shop on Saixing Road. The Etruscan is there sometimes, with Klaus and the rooster and the other ghosts he hangs with, and they tolerate her. She's proud of that, because they'll clam up around Masahiko. Are they old, incredibly ancient, or do they just act that way? Whatever. They tend to know things first, and she's learned to value that. And the Etruscan has been hinting at a vacancy, something really small, but with a window, looking down into what would have been Lung Chun Road. He likes her, the Etruscan. It's weird. They say he doesn't like anybody, really, but he fixed her father's credit, even though she'd forgotten to leave the key. She keeps the key to Suite 17 in a watered silk cosmetics case they gave her on the JAL flight home. It's made of white plastic, molded to look like an old-fashioned mechanical key, with a mag strip down the long part and the flat thing shaped like the crown a princess wears. She gets it out and looks at it sometimes, but it just looks like a cheap white piece of plastic. The Etruscan and the others spy on the project all the time. That's what they call it. Through them, Chia knows that the Eidaroo's island isn't finished yet. It's there, but it isn't stable. Something they have to do it before they build, even with nanotech, in case another earthquake comes. She wonders what the Russians will do with theirs, and sometimes she wonders about Mary Alice, and Eddie, and Calvin, the guy at Whiskey Clone who got her out of there, for no reason other than he thought he should. But it seems like a long time ago, between the walled city and school. She figures her mother knows by now that she wasn't with Hester, but her mother's never said anything about it, except to talk to her twice about contraceptives and safe sex. And really, she wasn't there much more than 48 hours, if you didn't count the travel time, because Rez hadn't been able to make it over to thank her, and Arlie had said that, all in all, it was better if she got home before anybody started asking any questions, but they'd send her first class on Japan Airlines. So Arlie had driven her back out to Narita that night, but not in her green van, because she said it was a write-off. And she'd still felt so bad about Zona, and it made her feel so stupid, because she felt like her friend was dead. But her friend hadn't even really existed, and there was this other girl in Mexico City with terrible problems, and so she wound up telling all that to Arlie, and just crying. And Arlie said she should just wait, because that girl in Mexico City, more than anything else, needed to be somebody else. And it didn't matter that she hadn't been Zona, because she'd made Zona up, and that was just as real. Just wait, Arlie said, because somebody else would turn up, somebody new, and it would be like they already knew you. And Chia had sat and thought about that, beside Arlie in her fast little car. But I couldn't ever tell her I knew. That would spoil it. When they'd gotten to the airport, Arlie checked her in at JAL, found somebody to take her to the lounge, which was sort of like a cross between a bar and really fancy business office, and gave her a bag with a roadie-grade low-res tour jacket in it. The sleeves were made of transparent rayon and a lining that showed through that looked like liquid mercury. Arlie said it was really tacky, but maybe she had a friend who'd like it. It was from their Combinat tour, and it had all the tour dates embroidered on the back in three different languages. She hadn't ever worn it, and she'd never really shown it to anybody either. It was hanging in her closet, under a piece of dry cleaner's plastic. She hadn't really been that active in the chapter lately. Kelsey had dropped right out. Chia didn't really feel that anybody in the chapter would get it if she tried to tell them what had happened, plus there were all the bits she couldn't tell them anyway. But mainly, it was the city taking up her time, because Rez and Rei were there, shadows among the other shadows, but still you could tell, working on their project. Plenty there who didn't like the idea, but plenty who did. The Etruscan did. He said it was the craziest thing since they'd turned that first kill file inside out. Sometimes Chia wondered if they weren't just joking, because it just seemed impossible that anyone could ever do that, build that, on an island in Tokyo Bay. But the Adoru said that that was where they wanted to live, now that they were married. So they were going to do it. And if they do, Chia thought, hearing the hiss of the Espresso-matic, I'll go there. This concludes Idoru by William Gibson. Narrated by John McLean. Copyright 1996 by William Gibson. This unabridged audiobook is published by arrangement with William Gibson, care of Sterling Lord Literistic Incorporated, and was produced in the year 2018 by Tentor Media Incorporated, a division of Recorded Books, which holds the copyright thereto. Please visit Tentor.com for more information on our growing library of unabridged audiobooks.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.